Okay, thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. For those who know Dr. Street, I'm his last and hopefully not the least graduate student. We just celebrated his great in retirement after 35 years of service at the Ohio State University. 35 years, and he and I together will accomplish this whole research program. So, annual has long been considered a weed worldwide. The ecological niche of annual bluegrass is very favored by the intensive management on golf greens, and the heavy seed head, less green color, and the susceptibility to cold, heat, drought, and disease stress make annual bluegrass very undesired on golf greens and needs to be controlled. The history of annual bluegrass control can be dated back to 1825 with barley water and a heavy application of salt. Then we get more like advanced. In 1937, there is a record about lead arsenate on annual bluegrass control. And then nowadays, other chemicals for annual bluegrass control can be classified into three categories: pre-emergence herbicide, post-emergence herbicide, and plant growth regulators. The problem with pre-emergent herbicide is that there are two peaks of seed germinations in a year, the fall and the spring. But actually, an annual bluegrass seed is capable of germinating all year around as long as the condition fits. And the problem with post-emergent herbicide is not only the choices are very limited, but also we have a safety concern on creeping membranes. This photo on the right is showing a severe creeping grass injury caused by 4 weekly applications of amicarbazone at the rate of 2 ounces per acre in 2010 in California. And the plant growth regulators are also used for annual bluegrass seed head suppression and the control. The problem with PGRs is that it takes years and years of programming, and creeping bluegrass injury may also occur if the PGR is misconducted. Under this situation, there comes this new herbicide called methoxazoline. Methoxazoline from the azoxazoline chemical family can selectively kill annual bluegrass, large crabgrass, barrier grass, thatch, and many kinds of annual broadleaf annual weeds. It has been proved to have both pre- and post-emergence control on annual bluegrass and also seed head suppression, just like PGRs. It has been found safe on creeping bluegrass by multiple reports. Beyond all the research about methoxazoline, the interactions between methoxazoline and nitrogen is still unstudied. Nitrogen is one of the most important macronutrients supplement in the turf system, followed by phosphorus and potassium. Can encourage recovery, color, and increase the stress tolerance in turf. It has been proved that nitrogen can promote both annual bluegrass and creeping bluegrass growth. But will it benefit annual bluegrass more or creeping bluegrass more? And methoxazoline treatments, that is the question. So our objective is to determine the effects of methoxazoline and nitrogen rates on annual bluegrass control in the spring, and also to determine the effects of methoxazoline nitrogen rates along with fertilizing frequencies on annual bluegrass control and creeping bluegrass recovery in the spring after successful methoxazoline fall control. The third objective is to determine the effects of methoxazoline and nitrogen rates on creeping bluegrass color and the lateral growth in the spring. So, three field experiments was conducted, and two of them are using RCBD design, and the second one is using split block design. For the first project, two more higher risk than the protocol. That's 0.53 is the protocol rate, and the two more higher risk were used to increase the control efficiency in the spring. All the methoxazoline treatments were applied at 2 week intervals. For nitrogen treatments, three different fertilizing frequencies was used in the second project as a third factor, and five different nitrogen rates was used in the third one for the regression purpose. And these are the data taken for each research project, and the ones in green are going to be discussed today, and that's a lot. And the methods for the turf grass color, we use the NDVI gray index and the visual assessments, and both gray quality and visual assessments were used for percent coverage data, and the digital image analysis was used for some data in this research. We're not going to details for that today. And the data was analyzed with SAS, ProcLean, and Fisher Protected Least Significant Difference was used for mean separation. And Microsoft Excel was used for all the regression analysis. So the first research project, according to the research by Dr. Cruz's research group and observations from many superintendents, that methoxyline treatments in the spring is not as effective as fall treatments on annual broadcast control. So we used four different methoxyline arrays and three nitrogen arrays to study if we can get a better spring control. So these are figure one shows the NDVI of annual broadcast and the different methoxyline rates in the spring of 2015. We can see that in this figure, higher methoxyline rates leads to significantly more discoloration on annual grass. And according to the grape counting results, that higher methoxyline rates in the spring has significantly more decrease on annual grass population, which means that those higher risk than the protocol risk does increase the control efficiency on creeping bank on annual broadcast in the spring. How about nitrogen rates? So in this figure, we can show that we can see that higher nitrogen rates actually increase the NDVI of annual broadcast. It increase the color of annual broadcast, but higher nitrogen rates can has significantly more decrease on annual bluegrass population, which means that a nitrogen program can benefit creeping bluegrass more than annual bluegrass. To even though we get a higher color on annual bluegrass, they are still outcompeted by creeping bluegrass under methoxyline treatment. So for the second project, what we did is that we made three applications of methoxyline as a protocol rate at 2 weeks intervals in the previous fall. And in the next spring, we get a really good control, approximately 75% of annual grass control, leaving whites like this all over the area. So three factors, including methoxyline rates, nitrogen rates, and along with fertilizing frequencies, were tested to find a way to better encourage creeping bluegrass filling into those voids without encouraging annual bluegrass taking it back. So what we saw in this project is that in 2014 we have a significant negative effect from the spring applications of methoxyline on creeping bluegrass color. But this negative effect was not repeated in 2014. And figure 6 shows the data at the 12 weeks after the initial treatment. And within each bar, the orange part stands for the percent white coverage, and the green bar stands for the annual bluegrass population. We can see that in both years, we have a more percentage of voids with spring methoxyline treatments, without another spring methoxyline, those voids are just taken back by annual bluegrass. So does methoxyline has a negative effect on creeping bluegrass or not? And that's why we did this third project. What we did is that we make two cup cutter holes filled back with sand in each plot, and then study the effects of methoxyline and nitrogen rates on creeping bluegrass color and the lateral growth into those cup cutter voids. So two methoxyline rates and five different nitrogen rates was used. According to the ANOVA test, methoxyline in this third project does not have a significant effect on either creeping bluegrass color or creeping bluegrass lateral growth. So the regression was only done for the nitrogen rates. So this is a regression of natural rates on the NDVI of creeping mangroves. So we can see there is a quadratic relationship between the NDVI of creeping mangroves and the time. And the curvation and the peak of each curve is only affected by natural rates, which means that with higher natural rates, we have a faster green up and a better maximum green color. For the regression of creeping mangroves recovery, in this figure, we see a linear relationship between the white size of most of them. All of them are studying from 100 great cones, and a linear relationship was found between the white size and the time. And the slope of each straight line is actually the lateral growth rate of creeping mangroves. And we see that lateral growth rate is only affected by nitrogen rate. With the higher nitrogen application, we get a faster recovery. So digital image analysis was used for both color data and percent coverage like this. And we also find that it could be a potential tool for dollar spot counting. In conclusion, higher melphalan rates have better control over annual grass in the spring, and higher nitrogen rates encourage creeping mangroves more than annual grass and the melphalan trees. Melphalan at a rate of 0.53 kilograms per hectare had a negative but not significant effect on creeping mangroves color and recovery. From the regression, we learned that a higher nitrogen rate leads to faster green up speed and higher maximum green color of creeping mangroves. The lateral growth rate of creeping mangroves is constant through time and has a directly proportional relationship with nitrogen rates. For future research, we could look into a laboratory experiment to determine the translocation metabolism of methylene and the different nitrogen rates in the plant. Maybe this could help us to understand the mode of action of methylene. And I would like to see a series of nitrogen rates with wider range and less intervals tested for a longer period of time to develop an even more detailed and accurate model for creeping mangroves color and recovery in the spring. And DIA could be used for turf grass surface quality assessment. In the previous presentation, we can see those measurements, and I would say that DIA would be perfect for that kind of data taking. So here I would like to thank all my committee members and also the financial support from Mahu Research Center. And thank you. Do you have any questions? The question is, what is the natural source? The nitrogen we use is ammonia sulfate. What we did is that we dissolved it in the bottle and sprayed with the methylene, so they were like sprayed together. Mm-hmm. Any more questions? Oh, yes?
Four treatments were applied. What was the ratio of mangroves to area?
Okay, the question is, what is the ratio of the original anabolic in the creeping mangroves green? And we did a great counting of anabolic population at the beginning of the experiment. There is some like variations between plots, but the average number is around 25% to 30%. Any more questions? Yes? Okay, you can ask me later. So, any more questions?
Yes. There's a strong correlation or interaction between nitrogen and sulfur fertility or nutrition within the plant tissue. Are you considering looking at a straight urea nitrogen source to see maybe AMS is a little, has different, impact on the plant? Just a recommendation, if that's a question.
Oh, yes. When we chose that ammonium sulfate is just a simple natural resource and it has some soil amendment effect on the grains, which is healthy for the turf, so that's why we chose it. But we could look into urea in the future. Yeah.
Do I have
speaker.
Do you have?